Welcome to the Pursuit Podcast. My name is Shayna Recker, and I'm a business and mindset coach to entrepreneurs looking to be, do, and have more. My mission is to help you pursue your biggest goals, take the right actions, and make your desires become a reality. This podcast and my special guests help you make a quantum leap from where you are to where you want to be so that you can be living your best life. To go along with this podcast, I've created a special 4-step plan to help you map out the start of your own quantum leap. You can grab that at shaynarecker.com/leap. What I share in this free download is critical to elite goal achievement. So I highly recommend you get over and you get started. All right, let's dig into today's conversation. Hey, Marie, welcome to the Pursuit Podcast. I am so excited that you are here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think this topic is amazing to talk about nutrition and health and how it aligns with our goals and the things that we want to achieve in our lives, and especially being, you know, busy entrepreneurs. And I know health is something that I work hard at. I'm not the best at it. I have my things. So I'm excited to learn from you today as well, and just learn about how to just be better at it. To kick us off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into nutrition and wellness, and we'll go from there.
So my name is Marie Young. If you can hear my French accent, I'm originally from the south of France. I was born on a sailboat in the south of France, and I grew up in sort of that sailing world and sailing industry in which my parents worked. And of course, I was an only child as well. So that was like, that's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to become a sailor. And so I did, and I became a professional athlete in the sailing industry, never really questioning why I was doing it. It was just what I fell into. And being an athlete, of course, nutrition plays a part, but it was never a big emphasis in the coaching and the training that I received at the time. But I definitely did have an interest in it. And I have to say that I channeled that interest in sort of the wrong ways too. I developed an eating disorder when I was at the height of my sailing career, which really, if you end up on the starting line of a competition and all you can think about is how many calories you've eaten or not eaten, or if you're just too hungry and weak, or if you're just too bloated and heavy from what you just binged on, it really affects your performance. Needless to say, there was a point at which I just walked away from that sailing career. And then I became a journalist for a little while. I became a pilot for a little while. And again, like, I really channeled that passion, I think, for nutrition in sort of the wrong ways. But I also, all throughout, was always nerding out on it. I was reading and I was researching. I found it fascinating always. And I had a moment, one of the defining moments really happened to me. It was about 10 years ago. So I was eating a bagel for breakfast with my husband, and I was always fairly lean, fairly thin, but it was never enough. I was never thin enough. I always wanted to. So that summer, I had lost a little bit of weight, a few pounds, and just cutting a few things here and there. And so that morning, my husband was spreading regular cream cheese on his bagel, and I had no fat cream cheese, and not even low fat, like no fat. And I bit into that bagel. I was like, this is disgusting. This is awful. What is in that stuff anyway? I had never looked at the ingredients really on a package. It was always about the calories.
Yeah.
So that day I looked at the package of that no fat cream cheese. And of course I couldn't pronounce or recognize any of those ingredients. And I had this light bulb moment where I thought, what am I doing? I am poisoning my body for the sake of saving a few calories. And that was really the beginning of me like going into nutrition with this very holistic, natural approach that ended up leading me into getting a diploma in holistic natural nutrition and making it eventually my career.
That's a great story. And I think it's so, I feel like when we have all of these like things that lead up to that moment, it's like, those were all lessons and things that contributed to this path for you. You know, it's like, it's almost like you have to go through those things in order to get to that moment where you're eating the bagel and then having the realization? Like, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And as hard as it is, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. I think a lot of us who are people pleasers and perfectionists, we want to know exactly what the steps are to get to where we want to go. We want to have this clear roadmap, and we want to have all the answers right away. And, you know, that's something I still struggle with every day. It's like, it's too late. I'm too old. I should have happened. I should have done this yesterday. But then there is that that knowing that we need to go through what we need to go through in order to get to where we are. And there's really no way, there's no shortcut, because it, you know, if I'd become a nutritionist in my 20s, then what? I wouldn't have any of that. You know what? You can't bypass the eating disorders. You can't bypass the wrongly channeling your passion for something, because otherwise you don't have the experience that you have.
Yeah. And I think those things taught you things that now you probably use a lot in your coaching with your clients and things, because you've had those experiences. Like, I truly believe they're all building blocks to bring us on our path to our purpose. And even, you know, I don't know how or where, and it might not be something we discuss here, but like, even, you know, your lifestyle as a pilot and all of those things, like all of those little things brought you to this place. And I'm sure there's all little lessons and things and all of that that are helping you today, you know, because I'm sure as a pilot, that's a busy lifestyle. That's a lifestyle where you're eating on different schedules and you're like all over the place. And, you know, so you probably learned a lot about how to, you know, do that kind of stuff, right?
And again, like, we don't have to really go into this, but I was flying medevacs for a while. So that's, you know, you go get patients from remote communities and you fly them into bigger hospitals kind of thing. And I was on call 24 hours a day for 10-day periods at a time. And so you should have seen me flying in the middle of the night after having been awake for already, you know, 24, 30 hours, just coffee and granola bars, because that's what the company was providing. We had a cooler full of the most generic sugary granola bars, and I pounded them back all night because that's how I stayed awake. So even though I already had a lot of knowledge of nutrition at the time, and that's an important point, knowledge is only one part of the equation. But if you don't have the practical strategies to actually use that knowledge and implement it in your own life, depending on your lifestyle, it's not worth very much. That's what I do a lot now with my clients. I have, I have clients who, you know, are usually very ambitious and busy women and entrepreneurs. And I'm thinking particularly of one of my clients who's a doula. And, you know, again, like kind of like, all anytime random, and so we worked on having those foods that are whole foods and that support her goals and her body, you know, her body and what she likes, that are ready to go. And we came up with a bunch of different ideas and strategies for her to be ready for those calls in the middle of the night, so that it wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh well, you know, can't help it, I just have to make a 2 a.m. drive-through run, right? So
yes,
the practical aspect is very important.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like, we know the things that we shouldn't eat and should eat, but then we don't implement them because of all of these, you know, reasons or excuses or things like that. So it's so true. And so let's just start with, okay, so I want to dig into this whole concept of nutrition and goals, like, so the success of the things that you want in life and nutrition, because I truly believe that they align. And I truly believe that in order to achieve your optimal life, that the nutrition side has to be at the same level. And I've learned this a lot in the past, because one of the things that I did at the beginning of this year, knowing the goal that I had for myself, is I realized that alcohol, and for me, it was alcohol, meditation, and exercise, were lessen the alcohol. Actually, I actually stopped drinking completely in January. Meditation, I wanted to make that a part of my routine every day. And then 30 minutes of physical exercise, because I knew the person that I needed to be in order to achieve that goal had to be clear-headed, had to be energized and had to, just be that person. And so in order to be her, I needed to, you know, do those things. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. So yes, I mean, this is the first piece of it. The starting point is obviously when we eat better, we feel better. And when we feel better, we show up better in absolutely everything that we do. So when we have that foundation of feeling great, we do everything else great, right? So that is one piece of it. The other thing I was thinking about is that I'm very fascinated by transitions. Oops, sorry, my computer is doing something weird. Okay. Transitions in life and in our business and in goals. And I find it funny too, because you just recently released a podcast episode on transitions and changes, yeah, right? And I'm very fascinated with that. And I've made obviously a million different transitions in my life and in my career. I went to 23 different schools as a kid and moved to a whole bunch of countries and whatnot. But there is always an evolution of your nutrition or your diet that is going to support that particular season or that particular transition or evolution of your life where you're at. And it's going to keep changing. It's going to keep evolving, right? So this isn't about, and I'm very much a believer that there's not really a one size fits all when it comes to nutrition. So sometimes I even struggle calling myself a nutritionist because I don't like to tell you what to eat, right? Yeah. Most of the time, you know what makes you feel great. And, you know, it's more about the practical implementation aspect of helping you actually do it. But we do have kind of this next level diet that will take us into our next level of our story, wherever we're at. Mm-hmm. And then also, as we heal our relationship with food and as we change and evolve in our dietary, in our lifestyle and our dietary choices, we learn lessons that we can apply to every other area of our life. You know, we learn different skills in the kitchen that teach us to just learn different skills in general. We learn more discipline, and you know, it makes us more disciplined for all the things, right? We learn to question what we've believed up to that point, right? If you've been raised on, say, like meat and dairy, and then all of a sudden become vegan, vegetarian, you learn to question all those things. Well, that's a very valuable skill in business as well. So there are a million different things that we learn in changing our diet and our nutrition and up-leveling that are transferable skills into business. So that is all the more reasons to always look at being better in our nutrition, just like you mentioned at the beginning. Like, it's about being better. It's not about being perfect. And trust me, I'm far from perfect. And nobody, that's not the point, right? We're learning and we're growing. Yeah. And when we do that in our health and our nutrition, we also do it in other areas of our life.
Yeah. And I found I was sleeping better. I was, I had more energy. I was more focused. I was performing better when I was following that strict routine. Now, I've since sort of loosened up the reins a little bit on everything, but it's interesting because what I learned during that time, and then when I loosened things up, I realized I like things better when I was more disciplined. So when I do get too far into the loose side of things, I instantly kind of go, okay, it's time to tighten the reins up again, because I can feel the difference. I think that's the big thing. I can feel the difference between when I feel really healthy and when I'm not feeling healthy. And it affects my work. It affects the way that I show up. And so then I make the choice. I make better choices when I do kind of fall off the tracks a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it is, it's one of those things, like when we, there, you say you loosened things up for a bit, and that might have been what you needed in that particular season, right? So sometimes when we go into a season of work where we're really up-leveling in our business, say we're an entrepreneur and we're really giving our business our all, hey, we don't have as much, you know, as much time and as much brain power to dedicate to nutrition, right? We might not. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in a season where we don't have 3 hours to spend meal prepping in the kitchen and researching new recipes and making things from scratch. And that's when we shift into, okay, well, what can I do nutritionally to support this particular season that I'm in? And that might look something like getting a meal delivery service or buying shortcuts, like pre-chopped fruit and veggies. You know, you're trading dollars for convenience. But convenience doesn't mean unhealthy. It just means that part of it has been done for you, right? So there are always things that we can do to support that season. And when things kind of find their rhythm and their groove with your business, then you shift into that other season of looking back at your diet and being like, okay, what can I do now? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you shifted from having a more like sort of desk, you know, position where you're, you spent more time like coaching clients at your computer kind of thing. And all of a sudden you're like running in and out of meetings. And so maybe you need to increase your protein or you need to increase your fat, you need to decrease your carbs. Like there are always things that need to be changing and evolving in your diet and in your business.
So there's not like one size. It's not even like there's not a one size fits all for each person, but there's also not a one size fits all for each person for different phases of their life, right? Like I know we just moved and let me tell you, the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, there's been no routine. There's been no, like we've been just kind of, you know, keeping on, you know, just trying to make sure the kids are fed and like, you know, as we're packing and unpacking and moving and doing all the things, right? So, but there's a time where you have to kind of let go and go, okay, I'm not going to beat myself up over this. This is just where we're at right now. We'll get to the other side and kind of get the pieces back together.
Totally. But that's also an opportunity to learn new things as in like, okay, what restaurants or cafes in my area have healthy grab and go options? Because maybe that is one thing that you can take into your next season when you're done with that move and that craziness. You know that if you're having a crazy work day, all of a sudden you have those go-tos that you have learned to, you don't need that brain power to find them anymore. You can just go there, right? So in every season, there are things that we can learn in our nutrition to just support our bodies the best we can, but it's not about being rigid, 100%.
Yeah, it's about just getting better every time. You just get a little bit better each time and know those things. I love how you talked about in our back and forth before we actually did this started this interview here, but you talked about there are mindset strategies because, you know, like we said at the beginning, people can know what they need to do, but they actually, you know, knowing is one thing and actually implementing and being, you know, disciplined with it is another. So what are some of the mindset strategies that can help people stay, you know, on track as best as possible with their health? Because, you know, if they are busy and there are different seasons, what are some of those things that can help them just, you know, make the better decisions?
Mm-hmm. Totally. So something that I use a lot with, especially with busy entrepreneurs, but basically with all of my clients is what I call a meal blueprint, which is you put a little bit of time and thought into it up front so that you can really free up your mental capacity when it comes to nutrition when, you know, you're entering a busy time at work, right? So that looks like defining making a list of all the foods that you love, that love you back, and, you know, foods that you enjoy that happen to make you feel great as well. And from there, just kind of picking a couple of different breakfast options. So maybe one is more involved and one is like a grab and go that you can either prep ahead or get somewhere. And then, you know, a few lunch options, a few dinner options, and a couple of snack options, and just kind of like having that as a loose blueprint or framework, which is not the same as saying, hey, Monday morning, I have this. Yeah. Tuesday noon, I have that. It's not like that. It's like, okay, I have this list of things that I know are all good for me and I enjoy them. So depending on how much time I have on my hands, I just pick the one that is more involved or the one that's grab and go, right? Mm. And so that's one of the things that just kind of frees up the mental space for it. Now, when it really comes down to mindset, I talk a lot about the how fast can you bounce back strategy, because again, that a lot of us who find ourselves in the entrepreneurial space, we are black and white thinkers. We are all or nothing, and we tend to do really, really well. I'm doing air quotes here. Yeah. Really, really well, and we're perfect with our diet. And then when we make one choice that doesn't align with the goals that we set for ourselves or the meal plan that we define for ourselves, then we say, "F it, I blew it." Which is called the F. I call that the F it, I blew it syndrome. It's like, F it, I blew it. And so you just go way, way off script until you feel ready to go back to being perfect. And this is the biggest mindset block that I find we have to break with us who are very, you know, kind of
I can relate to that fully.
Driven people. And so one of the ways we do this is with the strategy of how fast can you bounce back. So it's like, okay, I made a choice that doesn't align, or I made a choice that doesn't make me feel well, or okay, there's no time to beat myself up. The game is how fast can I bounce back? How fast can I, you know, make the next choice that will make me feel better? Another strategy there is recognizing the power of just a few good choices strung together, because maybe you found yourself in sort of this downward spiral of choices that don't make you feel well.
Yeah.
And you're beating yourself up and you feel really lethargic and you feel so far away from your goals. Well, you know, don't underestimate the power of making one choice that makes you feel better and another one, and another one. And literally in a matter of days, you are feeling so much better and you're on the upward trajectory again. Like sometimes we look at where we want to go and we're like, oh, but that's so far away, and we get discouraged. But literally, if we do one thing that makes us feel better, instantly our outlook, our mindset is better. I always think of when shortly after I had my second kiddo, I have two little boys. My youngest one is 2.5 now, but when he was a baby, I remember feeling very kind of bloated, flabby postpartum, you know, and looking at myself in the mirror one morning and being like, oh, I'm having a hard time with this body here, and going for a run. And literally 30 minutes later, I come back and I'm getting changed. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, wow, I look good. I didn't lose 15 pounds on my run, but my mindset totally changed because I did one thing that made me feel better. Those are just a few strategies that, you know, that I use a lot with myself and with my clients to kind of have that day-to-day implementation of the knowledge that we do have of nutrition.
I love that. And one of the things I'll add to that, because when I did decide to, you know, stop drinking and do the meditation every day and the 30 minutes of fitness, I create a little tracker for myself where I had to actually put a little check mark in the box to say, okay. And I know it seems silly, like to put a check mark in a box to say, no, I didn't have alcohol tonight. It sounds like I drank like every day. I didn't. It was just, we would have alcohol maybe on a Tuesday and then a Friday and then a Saturday. And like, even that kind of a cycle every week, it's just, you know, a bottle of wine here and there before you know it, you just don't feel your best after that. And so I would just put a check mark in the box and say, no, I didn't drink tonight. And when I got enough check marks in the box, there was like, I didn't want to not put a check mark in the box. You know, it was like this thing. It was like, I was so proud of myself to be able to see all of those check marks and to be able to go, yep, I did my meditation today. I did my 30 minutes of fitness and I didn't have any alcohol today. And I just was like, it comes to this point where you just don't not, you just want to not have to say I didn't do it because you'd been done so much of it, you know?
Exactly. And if somehow you messed up on one day, it's like, okay, how fast can I bounce back? How many check marks can I avoid not putting on? Right.
So maybe
I'm back to checking. So that is what the game is, because the dangerous trap there is being like, okay, well, I didn't put a check mark, so it's over. I'm throwing away my check.
Yeah, you can't do that. No.
Again, on January 1st, right? This is the one mindset that I work on breaking a lot. But when you speak of alcohol, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, because one of the biggest growth journeys in my entire life so far happened when I decided to stop drinking. And I didn't drink for over 2 years. It was, mm-hmm. was a while ago. It was like 6-7 years ago now, but I spent 2 years without drinking over 2 years without drinking a single drop of alcohol. And honestly, that expanded my mindset, my strength, my everything, more mm-hmm. than anything else I've ever done in my life, because mm-hmm. alcohol was this sort of go-to, this crutch, right? And when you take it away mm-hmm. from the table, it's extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that is a skill that I learned with alcohol mostly, that I then was able to apply in healing my relationship with food. And again, that's like possibly the number one skill that anybody who stops drinking or changes their diet yeah. for the better will learn, is how to be uncomfortable and be okay with it. You know,
yeah.
with the uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's what I felt with it too. I felt like it controlled my thinking more. So like, I felt like it was more in control than I was. It was kind of like, you know, at night it would be like, oh, it was a long day. It was like, oh, I could really use a glass of wine. And I felt like that was all I could think about, was having that glass of wine, even though I didn't always do it. But I was like, I was uncomfortable with the power that it had over my mind. And so I was like, that's when I was like, okay, I want to take back the control. It's not that I don't drink alcohol anymore. I will have a glass of wine, but I control it now. It feels more like it's not controlling me so much anymore. And that was from a goal standpoint, a professional standpoint, I didn't like the power that it had over me, because I knew that that was taking me away from my goal. And so it was something that I wanted to get back under, you know, in control. And much like you, I felt really, really good when I wasn't drinking it. And now we don't do it nearly as much as we used to. It's more of a weekend thing. And if we even do it on the weekend kind of thing. So,
yeah. And I'm in the same space now where I will have the occasional glass of wine, but I'm not, I think you said it very well. It's not controlling me anymore. I'm in control of it. But back then, I think going through that experiment mm-hmm. of saying, no, it's off the table and it's not an option, was incredible for my growth and my expansion. Yeah. Those first few weeks without alcohol, when you find yourself in social settings and yeah. you know, you're declining the glass of wine, you learn a lot about the power of saying no and setting boundaries and
yeah,
again, all those skills that you can apply to other areas of your life. And it's the same thing when I decided to go on a few years after that, I went on a 100% vegan plant-based journey for summer. I was training for full marathon, and I kind of shared my journey in a little Facebook group. I called it Mama Runs on Plants. And I had this whole thing and I was like, okay, that's it. And I'm always super vulnerable in the way that I share things. Like, okay, I'm really craving yogurt and sausage. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to increase the fat in my diet and see if it makes a difference, kind of thing. But also on the mindset standpoint, it was very hard. It's like, okay, I'm so afraid of looking impolite, or what if I go to a friend's birthday party and they pass me the meat, like, can I really say no? Like, it goes against all of my conditioning. So then you learn all those things about yourself. Yeah. Like, why am I actually so worried about looking impolite, or why yeah. is it so important for me to fit in or to belong? Yeah. Right? And that can apply to alcohol. It can apply to your relationship with money, with food, and all those things.
Well, and we need to create, as entrepreneurs in a busy world with families and all the things, we have to create boundaries and be able to say no to not just food and alcohol and things, but to things that people are asking of us, or things that just don't align with our businesses or our goals, and be able to stay focused on the things that, you know, are what we want and are what we want to do and create. And so, yeah, there's a lot of correlations between, you know, the food and the way we eat and the goals and our businesses and things like that. I love it. What would you, as something as, you know, I know that I rely on these things a lot, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well, being busy entrepreneurs. What are some of the best, you know, like I'm holding up my shaker cup here with this is like a protein, you know, greens kind of thing. And I do that because it's quick and it's easy. And I know that there's good stuff in there for me. What are some of your favorite easy, quick, healthy go-tos for professionals who maybe are, you know, on the run in between podcast interviews and they've got this and that? What are some of your favorite things to help people in those transitions in those times?
It depends on your likes and dislikes and your you know, how much time you're willing to dedicate to making or prepping things ahead, or you know, how much money you have to dedicate to buying things. Because I will say, those shakes and smoothies and stuff, they work for a lot of people. And actually, I've had a couple of my clients who have had incredible transformations simply by deciding that they have this go-to shake or smoothie that we will call their reset button meal, where they will decide that this is the one meal that when they have it, that they will have it no matter what. So for example, they know that, you know, when they have a busy day of meetings and stuff like that, they can get triggered by, say, pastries on a table or you know, the bakery that's at the corner of right before they get to their office kind of thing. But they know that if they choose to have this one thing first, then they can decide to have something else. And most of the time after they have it, they feel satiated, they feel good. And then the other stuff doesn't tempt them anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is super powerful. So if you can find a shake or a smoothie recipe that works for you in that way, absolutely. I personally really struggle with it, but it's not a nutritional thing, but I was literally traumatized by shakes when I was a teenager because I started putting on curves and stuff like that. And my mom kind of freaked out and was encouraging me to follow those ridiculous 500 calorie a day diet based on shakes that were absolutely awful. And just drinking a single sip made me want to vomit. And so I really struggle even to drink a smoothie now. I'm getting better at it. But anyway, so everybody's different that way. But otherwise, you know, I personally rely a lot on fruit and nut butters, like an apple with almond butter or banana with peanut butter. I love to bake and cook. So I always have some sort of like homemade, healthy-ish sort of muffin that I will grab with an apple or granola bar, like a Lara bar kind of thing with a piece of fruit. Always important to look at blood sugar regulation. You don't want to have just the fruit if you want to prioritize a steady blood sugar levels, which again will really impact how hangry you get down the line, right? If you can sort of stabilize your blood sugar levels without any big spikes and big drop offs, you won't have as many cravings and you won't get as hangry, kind of thing. So that's why I do like kind of the fruit and nuts in order to stabilize blood sugar. You always want to look at what I call the steady three, which is having those three things at every snack or meal, which is a little bit of fat, a little bit of protein, and a little bit of carbs that come packaged with fiber or attached to fiber, like fruit, like produce. You know, another thing could be carrots and hummus and a hard-boiled egg. If you have a few minutes to hard-boil a bunch of eggs on the weekend, and
which is so easy to do, right? Like
ants on a log, which is celery, peanut butter, and some raisins on top. Mm-hmm. You feel like a kid, and it kind of works with the whole steady three philosophy. You know, you could also think outside of the box and have a leftover cup of soup or stew that you made with some crackers. I like Mary's crackers that are like whole food, kind of wholesome crackers you could have. And there is always the good old like sprouted grain bread with peanut butter and banana in it, you know? So,
it's so funny because you think it's complicated, but it's not. Like, it's not complicated to eat healthy. And I had worked with a health coach a while back, and, you know, she always said to me, like, you know, blue corn chips hummus and some salsa. You know, you got a little bit of veggie, you got the blue corn, and I love that. Like, I love eating that. And it's like, sometimes you think in your head that, oh, for me to eat healthy, I have to, you know, like you said, food prep on Sundays and bake and cook all of these things. But hummus and salsa and blue corn chips, you can buy at the grocery store. They're right there. You just pour a little bit in the bowl, throw some chips in, and you eat it, and you're good to go. And it's good for you, and you feel good, and it's not hard, you know?
It isn't, but you're right. You have to find something that you do enjoy, though.
Yeah, sure.
Because imagine in front of you, you have two choices. You have, you know, something that's extremely unhealthy, but that you love. And then you have something that's healthy and you don't love. Obviously, you're going to go for the unhealthy.
Yeah.
But if you have in front of you something that is, you know, that you love, that loves you back, something that's healthy that you do love, and then something that's also, you know, something that you love but is unhealthy, then you can make a much more sort of even playing field decision mm-hmm. of, okay, obviously I'm going to go with the healthy stuff, but it has to bring you pleasure. And that is my point. The thing that I do is health is not something to be, it's not something we do to punish ourselves, you know, even when it comes to my philosophy with exercise and movement. If it doesn't bring you joy and make you happy, don't do it. Because if you're just doing it to lose weight, diet is 80% of the equation. So don't bother doing exercise that you hate. But if it makes you happy, if it brings you joy, absolutely do that. You know, so same with the food, right? I always get people, depending on their goals, to kind of allow themselves a few indulgences every week. So, you know, if their goal is really weight loss, then maybe limit it to a couple. If it's, if you're just working on getting healthier, maybe you could do 5 indulgences a week. But these indulgences, the rules around them are, they must be really, really worth it. Yeah. So say you give yourself, you know, 2 indulgences a week. And you're at the office on a Monday morning and somebody brings a tray of generic donuts that you've had a million times. You're not going to blow your indulgence card on those donuts. Yeah. You're going to wait until you can have something that's truly worth it. That night you go to your mom's house. She makes her famous apple pie. Of course, you're going to indulge in that.
Yeah.
So that kind of strategy teaches you to pick something that is extremely worth it to you.
Yeah.
And that you can enjoy without guilt. Like, I'm mostly plant-based at home, but you can bet that if in front of me somebody puts a real butter croissant from the ones I have from back in France, like, I'm not going to deny myself.
I'm all over it. Yeah. That's one of my favorites too, is pastry, anything pastry like that. I'm like, I'm all over it. All my cards would be gone. I love that stuff. This is such a great conversation and it's so good. So let's say there's somebody who's listening to this right now, who's realizing that, you know what? Yeah. My goals, where I want to go in life, my goals for my business and myself are really important to me. And I'm realizing right now that my health isn't in alignment with where I want to go. Ooh. What are the fastest ways that they can start getting on track? Like, what are some tips to help them, make that transition to, you know, obviously this isn't something that you're just going to like one day just transform everything. But what are some things that they could do to get started?
Yeah. Cause that's overwhelming. So I'd say the first step is really to know where it is that you want to go. You know, and that applies to any goal. And I know that you're very much into that as well. It's like, okay, well, have the picture of
your aiming point.
Your aiming point of the end goal in mind. Like, what does that look like for you? You know, what would that feel like? What would you eat when you get there? How would you dress? Like, but also, so it's knowing where you want to go, but also why. Why do you want to get there? How will that impact your business? Like, why is now a good time to up-level your health? Like, why is it really important to you? Because again, unless you have a very compelling reason for it, which, you know, just like setting a goal to lose 10 pounds in itself isn't very compelling until you see all of the things that will come out of having lost those 10 pounds. Those might actually be very compelling reasons, but you won't know until you dig. So that's the first step, is really to know where you want to go. Second step is to assess the current picture. Mm-hmm. And remove the judgment from the equation. I get people to do what I call like food and mood journaling. And it's not about tracking exact macros or calories or things like that. It's about seeing, okay, what is it that I eat on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And why do I eat those things? So it's on one hand journaling the foods that we eat, but also the circumstances around them. For example, 8 a.m., ate an apple, wasn't very hungry. 10 a.m., hit the drive-through and had two cheeseburgers because I was starving, right? And so then you can start, you know, after you do that for a few days, you can start taking a step back and identifying what are the biggest issues. And, you know, if you need help doing that, that's where I come in, because that if I see this right away, I'm going to say, but look, your 8 a.m. apple is the problem here. We got to, you know, start with a breakfast that is going to be much, much more satisfying, but also, you know, have like
sustainable
more to it, to, you know, to sustain you for longer. And that might just eliminate that drive-through thing altogether, right? So, or maybe it's a food prep issue, or, you know, or a food packing issue. I realize that you're always like going out for lunch every day. Well, maybe we just need to look at your calendar and see when can you carve an hour to spend in the kitchen to pack, to prepare some lunches.
Yeah.
For packing, right. So it's about assessing the current picture, kind of removing the judgment from the equation. I call it putting your detective hat on. Like, you're going in with this neutral observer kind of attitude, being like, okay, this is what's working and this is what's not working. And so then you have an idea of what the gap is between where you want to go and where you are. And that's when all you have to do is tackle it. Simple, right? But not easy.
Pursuit, action.
But yes, of course, the tackling part is the one where you want to be equally practical and kind of spiritual, right? Where you want to be, you want to keep visualizing your outcome, and you want to hold the faith, and you want to embody the feelings that you'll get when you get there, but also the very practical thing, which is, well, you got to take action and eat the things, right? Yeah. But you don't have to do that tackling part, that bridging the gap part. You don't have to do it overnight all at once. It could be a step-by-step plan. I work a lot with people who are transitioning into a different way of eating. So for example, they want to go from, you know, like a more paleo approach to a more plant-based approach, or vice versa. You could choose to do it overnight. Your chances of making that sustainable over the long term are smaller. It works for some people, but for most of us, it doesn't. And so we simply make a plan to tackle it gradually. Say, maybe breakfast is your biggest issue. Well, let's only focus on breakfast until you are nailing it consistently. And only then do we move on to snacks and to dinner and to lunches. So we take this very gradual step-by-step approach. So that's another way to bridge the gap between where you are and where you want to go. So you don't have to do it all overnight. You don't have to tackle the biggest thing first. You could start by tackling a small thing, as long as you have a plan to move on to the bigger things later on.
Yeah. And I love how that you add into what you do the visualizing of yourself as that future version, because it's so critical, because you have to switch the belief of who you are. Like, I notice for myself, it's like I always see myself in a certain weight. And that when I fluctuate and I get a little heavier, let's say I'm not exercising as much or whatever, the minute I become different than the self-image I have of myself, that's when I like rebound and start going, oh no, I gotta get back to where I was. Cause we can't outperform our self-image. So if you always see yourself as overweight, let's say, and unhealthy, then you'll always go back to that. So you have to change that vision of yourself in order to consistently make good choices so you can get to that new self-image, that new picture of yourself. And that comes with consistently visualizing over and over again the person that you want to become.
Yeah, and make choices from that place. And when I was really struggling with disordered eating or eating disorders, I remember thinking a lot, I wish I could just be a normal eater. To me, a normal eater was somebody who just didn't have to think about it too much and just just eat like a normal person, right? But to me, that seems so far away. With what I know now, what I do with a lot of my clients who end up being in that kind of situation where their eating has gotten kind of disordered. And they have a lot of like emotional eating issues. Like that, it's like, okay, well, what does a normal eater version of you eat? And that is going to be your visualization for now, right? If what you want is to find food freedom, which is, you know, just not having to overthink everything all the time, this is what you want to visualize and picture, well, how does that food freedom or normal eater version of Shayna eat? And it sounds ridiculously simple, but then do that. Because if I had back then, you know, like a 20 years ago, 15 years ago, decided to simply, once I was like, oh, I wish I could just be a normal eater. If I'd simply decided to be like, okay, well, what is a normal eater?
Picture that.
Could I just eat that today? I would have broken the pattern so much faster. And of course, there's so much more mindset work that goes into it. But you can still do the mindset work and at the same time.
Well, because they go together, right? Because the mindset, the visualizing is what you're programming into your subconscious mind. But the actions, taking the actions as if you are that person, is what solidifies the new belief. You know, when you do that enough times over and over and over again, the subconscious mind goes, oh, this is who we are. Oh, okay. And then you start being that habitually, and that's your new belief. And then that's your new self-image. But it takes the combination and the repetition of both things, the mindset and the actions, to set that into place. So, and I would say, to add to what you're doing, and this is why you'd want to hire a coach like Marie, is that you need the accountability, you know, the accountability, having somebody there by your side to be able to help you when you're falling off the wagon, or just to be able to check in. Cause I know when I did my, at the beginning of the year, when I was making those shifts in my own, I had a coach at that time and I had to check in every week. And that was very helpful for me to stay on track, knowing that I had somebody there to work with. Right. So, I think that if you are listening to this right now and you're looking for that accountability or looking for someone to help you get yourself back on track or on a new track to eating healthy, to match your goals and to just really become your optimal self, you know, reach out to Marie, find some help, find someone that can help you figure out the plan, you know, get the blueprint, start making the shifts and make that work. Marie, this has been such a great conversation. I could talk about this stuff all day. Where can people find you? Because I know you have a free tool as well, don't you, that people can download?
You can find me on Instagram at Bloom with Marie, on my website, which is bloomwithmarie.com. So I have a few different guides and tools that you can grab through my link in bio on Instagram. I also have an ebook with all of my nutrition strategies. That one is not free, although if you're listening to this, you can use the code VIP50. So VIP50 at checkout to get that ebook.
Awesome.
And off, that is called the Empowered Eaters Handbook. And it's really all of my strategies in one place. So, you know, how to set up your blueprint, how to even define where you want to go, how to set standards for that place that you want to be at. There's some meditation visualizations in there as well. Perfect. Some video files that come with it. So yeah, that is something.
That's amazing.
On my website. Yeah.
I love that. Well, thank you for that. And if you guys are listening, make sure you go and check that out and grab that. Marie, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and all your wisdom to help everybody quantum leap their health goals. So thank you for that. I appreciate you. And thanks for being a part of the Pursuit community.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. It is my hope that this chat today helped you become relentless in the pursuit of your dreams. If you loved it, please leave an honest review on iTunes. It helps more people find this podcast, this content. And as always, I love when you share screenshots of these episodes on your iPhone into your iStories and tag me in it. I always reshare them and send you a personal thank you message every single time you do it. So thanks so much for joining. Until next time, be relentless in your pursuit.